Welcome to Life, Lessons, and Laughter with your host, Glenn Ambrose.
Millennials!
Welcome to the show, everyone.
Oh my God.
Today, guess what we're talking about?
Millennials.
Is it millennials?
Yes.
Is it millennials? Are we talking about millennials?
We are.
Alright.
You didn't expect me to do that. That's funny. I think that's why I did it.
I don't think I even appreciate the term millennials.
No.
No.
How come?
I don't know. Because no one ever says, let's talk about millennials, and then it has a positive thing to say about it.
Well, we're going to change that today. But, which you probably didn't even know that until I just said it.
No, I don't. The only thing that you have told me, our pre-show meeting, our pre-production meeting for this episode was him singing millennials. Like
millennials.
Oh, God. All right. 102 episodes and we're done.
Hey. This is the best start ever. So yeah, millennials are a big topic, you know, and I just, it was on the forefront of my mind just because I happened to watch a video that somebody did on it. But the big thing that everybody's talking about with millennials, you know, amongst other little things, but the biggest topic seems to be their entitlement, that they feel entitled. You know, and that's what I see and hear about all the time. So, Ben, you're a millennial. Do you feel that you think you're entitled?
To what?
Everything. Or anything without having to work for it. I think that's the crux.
I think that there would be – I could actually get very upset about this topic, actually.
Well, don't go too far because I'm going to spin it around. So
I think that we should be entitled to – or I wish that we were entitled to not being the victim of – things such as college tuition raising more than like 200% since the 70s, and then being demonized as lazy, or, you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, well, there's
for not owning homes or not, like, being blamed for literally everything right now.
yeah, it's always the generational thing, you know, like, I mean, it's, you know, and that is a big part of it. It's just a different generation. So every generation ever has talked about the next generation.
Yeah. I mean, you're Generation X.
I think so.
You would consider Generation X, yeah?
I think so.
And, you know, the baby boomers hated you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we were running around in the 80s doing drugs and having insane sex, and, you know, it was all about over the top, you know, right. Excess. The 80s were all about excess.
Sure.
So,
and the people in the 70s and 60s were doing what?
Yeah, drugs, and they were, yeah. That, you know, free love and everything. And yeah, the generations before, and it goes way back, but I mean, the generation before, because when you get older, your perspectives change, you learn. So then you're taking everything that you learned about life and you're judging the previous generation by what you've already learned. Well, they haven't learned it yet. That's why they're younger, you know? They haven't gotten to that place yet. So, which is, you know, a part of it. And I think we're kind of dancing around it a little bit, which is good because we're throwing some other perspectives out there. But I think the main thing that people aren't doing when they're talking about millennials is they're not looking at the big picture. And, you know, I'm talking about the global picture. I'm talking about the universal picture. I'm talking about the evolution of a species picture. You know, I feel that we are evolving as a species because we have to, because what we're doing isn't working anymore. We've hit a wall where we're going to blow ourselves up if we don't change. And, you know, I've said this countless times. So we need to change. So we are. So the younger, the millennials coming in, are coming in wanting different things, feeling different ways. And there's a reason for that. They're coming in a different way because they're ushering in a new way of being. And we're not there yet. You know, we're not there yet. So we're looking at them. We're still living in the old school mentality and the old school way of doing things. And that's why everybody's frustrated and there's so much controversy going right now, because we're in the middle of change. And we're getting fed up with the way things are going, and we're going to be heading in a direction that the millennials are actually already ready for. We just haven't gotten there yet. So as the millennials get older, they're going to be ushering in this new way of being, and a big part of that is entitlement. You know, people think entitlement is bad, and it's not. You know, entitlement means that they feel that they have the right to go to work to a job that they actually enjoy every day. And we go, oh my God, what are these kids thinking? What are they thinking? They're going to go enjoy their job? What is wrong with them? You know, no, that's okay. They should think that. They should think that they can actually go to a job that they enjoy. You know, and then they go, oh, well, they think that they're going to have paid vacations and that they're going to be able to own a home and have a nice car and raise a family. Oh, are they going to have a rude awakening? Like, why? Why do we not want people to have a desire, an innate desire to fulfill a happy life? You know, the disconnect I feel is that the millennials are walking around going, yeah, I want that. I want that. And the generations before are going, oh my God, you don't understand. You have to bust your butt for that and you have to work hard and you're going to have to do a job you don't like. No, that's not the reality that they're creating. That's not the world we're going to be living in. So if that's not the world we're going to be living in, why do they need to think that way? I don't want to teach my son that he needs to, that he can't have the life of his dreams. I want him to have the life of his dreams, you know? So, I mean, all that stuff that they want, it's fine. The disconnect is that they do have to keep taking steps forward to achieve what they want to achieve. Does it have to be hard? No, it actually doesn't have to be hard. That's a misnomer. That's not the truth. And millennials understand that that's not the truth. And we're telling them, no, you have to work hard and you have to bust your butt and it's not easy. And they're going, yeah, that doesn't seem right to me. That doesn't seem right. Why? Because it's not right. It's not a universal truth. You know, and I've been doing some research on some business stuff. And Richard Branson is a good example of this. He's talking about his business model, what it has been since day one and still is to this moment. And his business model is to have fun. He's like, if I'm going to build a business with somebody, if I'm going to have people working for me, if I'm going to have a business relationship, it's going to be fun. I'm going to enjoy it. Because otherwise, what's the sense? Why would I want a business relationship with somebody that is cutthroat and not fun and stressful? Because then my life is going to be cutthroat, stressful, and not fun. And I don't want that type of relationship in my business or in my personal life. So why would I create it? You know, that's his business mentality. And he's a billionaire, you know? Like, and I mean, his model, like, you know, this is the way things are going. People are actually finding a culture in their workplaces. This is progress as a species. You know, that's what's happening right now. We're progressing as a species. Now, just because the millennials understand that, you know, that they're entitled, they have this entitlement, we just need to bridge the gap a little bit and keep teaching them ways of achieving. Because the fact is nobody can sit on their butt playing video games and expect a paycheck to come in the mail every day. Unless you're a video game specialist. You know? And there's only room for so many of those, so some of you millennials are going to have to get a real job, you know. But make sure it's doing what you enjoy and what you love. And there should be joy and there should be fulfillment. And you should be able to raise a family and you should be able to have all the experience and all the things that you want. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. So instead of squashing their dreams, what we need to do as a society is start embracing their mentality and showing them and teaching them how to achieve their dreams in a healthy, happy way. You know, and I think that that's our learning curve. That's what we need to work on a little bit, you know, is bridging that little gap because they know they deserve it. They know that they should be able to get to have it. But there's a little disconnect in how to actually achieve it. And it's not all hard work. Because so when you jam that down somebody's throat, and you know what's funny is I lived a version of this. maybe I was a millennial born too early. But when I was younger, I had a major problem that I discovered a few years ago. I got some insight. And what it was I was very rebellious. And what the reason I was rebellious was because I knew deep inside of me that I did deserve to have happiness and we should be able to be kind and love one another and that I was smart enough and capable of achieving things. But then when I went out into the world, like in school, everybody kept telling me that I was doing it wrong. And they kept telling me that I had to follow the rules. And there was something inside of me that just kept going, no, I don't. No, I don't. So the only two things I had was to either sit on my butt and in a cocoon and not live my life the way I really wanted to, or cave and do it the way, become an ass kisser and climb the corporate ladder and do all that. Those were my only two options that I could see. And I just rebelled because I was like, no, I'm not doing it your way because your way is crap. And then I stayed there for 20 years. You know, it wasn't until I woke up and I started seeing things differently that I found out that, you know what? When I was a kid, I was right. I don't have to become an ass kisser. I don't have to climb the corporate ladder. I don't have to become a soulless jerk to actually be successful in this life because that's what I was shown and that's what I was taught and that's what I was rebelling against. So there, I can be myself. I can do it my way. There, you know, there is another way in the middle to do it. You can be authentic to yourself. And that not only can you do it that way, but the true success is always that way. The most successful people are the ones that are being a version of themselves, the best version of themselves, their authentic selves. You know, and I'm not talking the most successful people money-wise. There are people that just chase money like maniacs, and they'll get a ton of it. They won't be happy. They won't be fulfilled. They won't be, you know, they won't enjoy their experience here on earth, but they'll have a whole bunch of money. So I'm talking, the successful people I'm talking about are the ones that are healthy, happy, have a good tribe around them, you know, and actually enjoy their lives. And if they so choose, can have financial wealth as well. So those are the people that I'm talking about, the successful people. And the only way we're truly going to achieve that is if we embrace who we are and show the world that. Show that to the world. And breathe.
That was a monologue.
Holy crap. Yeah, it needed to get out of me, man. Yeah. It just had to come out.
Whew.
Well, I guess I've been hearing a lot of bashing on the millennials, you know? So I just, it's, and I just, like, come on, man. They're on the cutting edge of where we're going.
There's a fantastic, I don't know if it was a TED Talk or a presentation by the guy that does Adam Ruins Everything.
That does what?
You know the show on True TV, Adam Ruins Everything?
No, I think I have heard of it, but no, I don't know what it is. No offense, Adam.
No, it's a It's a no, it was at Deep Shift. He did a 25-minute speech on millennials don't exist. And it was all about the that this perception of millennials is not real. That's not a like first of all, generation gaps, like generations are arbitrary. As far as like when, you know, there's no clear timeline as to when they start and when they stop. And the, just the facts of the entitlement and the specific things that are demonized, about a generation are not usually factually accurate. They're not stereotypes that are, well founded. And they're, if they are, then they are normally the exact same thing that was said about the generation who's now judging them.
Yeah.
There's a Time magazine. Have you seen the three Time magazine covers?
No.
One is from like this year, one is from 1990, and one is from like from like 1980, about how bad these three generations were.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that there's some truth to it. Like, it's an interesting, take. I guess the only reason that I wouldn't hop on that boat that there's no truth to it is because I think that we are evolving as a species.
Right.
And so we need to, I think it's important to look at how people are different. Even if it's slightly, you know, so because I think it gives us clues to where we're going, you know, and if we embrace that, then we'll go there quicker, you know, because I think we're becoming better, and that's a whole nother show. That's actually a good idea we can do for a show is just start from the beginning of man and come all the way until now. Obviously in big chunks, you know, but just to talk about the evolution of man or humankind, I should say. So, you know, because I think we are evolving and I think we're heading towards being better versions of ourselves and all that stuff. So I see his point, you know. Yeah, there's no real truth to it.
I haven't watched that video in a couple months, so I don't want to explicitly speak for the video,
right?
But I do remember that I agreed with mostly all of it.
And you know, when you go down that road too, I think I kind of saw this in the video that I watched the other day. When you go down the road of really dissecting it, you can kind of prove whatever you want. You know, if you look at it and you go, okay, well, I'm going to prove that millennials are different, you will be able to find a whole ton of information to scientifically back that up. And if you go in there and you go, I'm going to prove that the things that they're saying are just generalizations and they're not actually true, you will find a ton of information to back that up. You know, you got whatever you look for, you're going to find. So it's... You know, and I guess that's why I don't go down that road too far, because it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, where are we? The fact that people think that millennials are different needs to be addressed. You know, whether they are or whether they're not doesn't really matter. The fact that they think that they're different needs to be addressed. And I think if we address it the correct way, if we look at it that, like, the thing that I did like about the video that I saw, because I didn't agree with a lot of what he said about the problem, but what I did like is this guy was very smart and he circled back to the proper solution. And the solution he gave was basically that our workplaces need to shift to deal with millennials. And he was saying that there's something wrong with millennials, but it's not their fault. That's what he was saying. And I don't necessarily agree with that. But his solution was, we need, as a workforce, the people who are running the workforce, we need to create a different workforce for these people because it's all they know and they can't be different. It's just who they are, you know. So I liked his solution, because really it doesn't matter if you think there's something wrong with millennials or if you think millennials are on the cutting edge of a new, healthier way of being. It doesn't matter. What's the solution? The solution is creating a healthier workforce. The solution is helping people be actually happy and fulfilled in their jobs. You know, creating an environment where people actually want to go on a daily basis. Like that would be a cool society. You know, like, can you imagine if most people on this planet actually enjoyed going to work and felt fulfilled by their jobs? I mean, that would change society. You know, that would change. That's why I feel that we're on that cutting edge of becoming a new, on the cutting edge of a new way of being. So that's basically the solution. You know, we can jump up and down and say, no, millennials have to learn our way and all this stuff. Why? Like, well, if you had a choice where you go, okay, I want to live in a society where people either enjoy going to work or people hate their jobs, which society would you want to live in?
The one where people enjoy going to work.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're – if I mean, and anybody, if they get off the argumentative stance about what they're trying to prove, anybody would agree with that. We want to create a society where people are actually happy and enjoy going to work. So if that's what we want, well, and millennials want that and they expect that, what a beautiful time to implement it. You know, like, it's just a natural flow. So that's why I want to address the millennials, because it's, you know, if we stop arguing over what's supposed to be and what's not supposed to be and how it happened and if it's true and all that crap, and just look at what's going on and go, oh, they just want to be happy and fulfilled? Huh. Okay. Well, let's use that motivation to create a new society. And that doesn't mean, you know, somebody goes to work and, you know, because you're going to have, it's a whole generation. So you're going to have some of them that go into work and go, well, I've been here 6 months and I'd like a raise and I want you to buy me a house. Well, then those people, you just go, no, I'm sorry, that's not the way it works. And they can either leave, or, and you can get somebody else in that does a better job, or, you know, whatever. It's not like we have to cow down to them and just give them everything. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if we start working on building a culture where people are actually happy and fulfilled and can envision having a life that they can enjoy and their family can enjoy because of a job, that's going to shift a huge part of society. I think it's just another way we're getting better and evolving.
I just realized during this conversation that
are your generations awesome?
No, you know the big argument about participation trophies?
Yes.
Right? Obvious. I mean, you have a son that plays sports, so obviously. I'm sure that there are parents and other people that say, like, you know, it's ridiculous that these kids are getting trophies just for participating.
Right.
And everything, right? So I just realized during this conversation that I got participation trophies when I was a kid.
Oh.
I've listened to the argument. I've never
It's thought, never clicked that.
Oh, hey. I have trophies that are just participation trophies. When I played football when I was a kid, we all got, there was a tiny little trophy that everybody got. We had a big banquet. They called everybody's name. Everybody came up individually, right? And got it. And then they had big awards, most improved, team leader, blah, blah, blah. And then we were still playing a game, and the teams that won in the league still got championship trophies.
Right.
You know? So, number one, we all knew what success was. You know, we all knew, hey, there's a clearly defined thing of success in this game, and it's getting that big trophy. So, like, that was never taken away from us. But what was instilled, that the fact that hard work paying off can get the results that you want, right? Which is the argument. You give everybody a participation trophy, they think, great, they're entitled to it for just showing up.
Right.
Right? No, we all had a common goal to win and to be the best and to get the thing.
Right.
Right? But what it did do was I had to sit there, because Pop Warner Football is not just you. This banquet is for your team and the like nine other divisions of that team, right? So you have like the flag football, the bantam weights, the junior weights.
Oh, there's a lot of kids.
Yeah, there's like 200 kids that you have to wait for everybody to get their trophy, right?
Wow.
You have to sit there and you have to support every single person and clap for them, right? What it actually instilled in me was that every single person there had some importance.
Right.
And, like...
Yeah, they were part of the team.
They were a part of the team. Win, lose, or draw, you were a part of it, and you deserved some level of appreciation.
Right.
But more so than that, you deserved the respect, and you had to give people respect.
That's right? I just had the flash of that movie Rudy.
So, you know? so it actually, I think, was beneficial that we had this ceremony where we showed respect to each other and we all got respect as a team.
Right.
And it did not diminish one bit the fact that we were all striving for something. And that something is a championship and a big trophy in this scenario.
Right. And that's
We learned dignity and self-respect and respecting other people.
And that's how you internalized it. And it's, and that's, which is good, And I'm sure other kids internalized it the same way. And some kids sat there and went, you know what? I never want to be anything more than a participant. Because I got a trophy too. Some of them thought that way, and it probably has something more to do with their upbringing and how they were, how they were talked to in the household than it does as playing one sport. What that trophy means can be determined by a parent's explanation of what that trophy means. if you're taught over and over in a lot of different ways that you just don't have to try and you get everything you want, well, then, yeah, you're probably going to start feeling that way, But how we internalize it is going to vary through all different – and it's gonna, and it was the same for my generation, and it was the same for the generation before, in my generation, I don't know if I remember this right, but, I played football, and I think when we finished playing JV, you got the little numbers of the year you graduated that you could sew onto your school jacket. And then when you played varsity, I don't know if you finished 1 year or when you graduated as a senior, it must have been when you played 1 year. You got the letter, your school letter that you could sew onto your jacket, but I think everybody got those, I don't think it was.
And that being said, I think that the participation trophy or the C that you get, it's an accomplishment to stick through playing JV for a year.
Right. Right. And you need, for a football team, you need a practice squad to practice against. And they are a part of that. So, and it's just when you get into the workforce, maybe the old mentality is part of the problem of the workforce. Because, you've got these CEOs and you've got other higher ups in the company making decisions on things that they have no idea about. Because they're not on the ground floor. It's like what was that show, Undercover Boss? That show amazed me because in the beginning I was like, oh my God, this is so wonderful. Isn't this impressive? Like how these bosses care about their company and then they go down and they learn stuff and they connect to people on an individual level and they appreciate them and they learn about their company. And then after watching it for a couple seasons, I was like, how can somebody higher up, you know, whether it's a CEO or just somebody higher up in a company, how can somebody higher up in a company, before they go undercover, go, yeah, I'm going to go try to learn a few things, but, you know, I think we're doing a pretty good job. I just want to do a better job. And, you know, I think then all of a sudden they go undercover and they're like, oh my God, like cutting their pay made people lose their homes. I can't believe it. And these people that are on the docks stocking our trucks all day, I cannot even wrap my brain around how hard they work every single day. And you know what? When their car broke down, they didn't have $100 to fix it. That's horrible. For how hard they work, they should not have to be in that situation. You know, and it shocks them. After a couple seasons, I stopped watching the show because I'm like your people still don't get it. Like, there's human beings on every level, and those human beings are an integral part of your system. And if you treat them with respect, and you build an entire business around respecting, you know, every level that you have, you're going to grow a huge, successful, amazingly wonderful business. And your business is going to take off to levels that you had no idea were even possible. You know, but you need to respect everybody on that team. If you just treat them like robots coming in and doing a job and you give them a paycheck and that's all it is, and it better be good enough for them, that's not going to fly anymore. It just doesn't fly anymore, you know, and which I think is a good thing because they're not robots. And you can't just say, you come in, you do this, and you bust your butt and give me everything that you've got in you. And I'm going to then go home and scrape for a living for the rest of your life, and I don't really give a crap about you. That's not really a good society model for us to live in, and that's what's changing. You know, it doesn't mean that everybody has to make the same amount of pay and people who don't do their job get the same amount of money as somebody who actually does do their job. I'm not saying that, you know, and that's – so I'm going to put this caveat out there. Usually when people are disagreeing with me or disagreeing with anybody, they throw generalized sweeping statements. Oh, well, so we're supposed to just, you know, everybody's supposed to make $100,000 a year no matter what their education is, no matter what their talents are, and whether they show up to work or not. We just give everybody $100,000 a year. That's going to be horrible. The whole world's going to collapse. Nobody's saying that. I sure as heck am not. You know, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we need to respect people and understand that everybody is a part of an integral part of the whole, you know, and we are connected. I think if we head in that direction, these millennials are going to find their way. And, you know, we're going to have a better workforce. And we're going to have a more efficient, productive workforce. And we're going to have a more loving, healthy society as a result of it.
And I would just like to end with if you're sold that you have to go to college and get a degree to get a good job, which is mostly true, and then college is like a minimum of $60,000 for 4 years, and that's on the low side, you get out of that at 21, 22 years old, and your student loan debt is as much as a mortgage where you're paying $1,000 a month. These people aren't not buying homes because they're eating too much avocado toast. Like, yeah. Just be sympathetic to it. Or, you know, challenge. Like, not be sympathetic. You don't have to be sympathetic. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is stop the demonization of it, because, like, they're just people trying to do the same things you're trying to do.
Right, and it looks a little different because it's a different generation. And, you know, looking at somebody just coming into the workforce and wondering why they don't have it all figured out yet, are you freaking kidding me? Like, I mean, unless you just walk into a job, punch a card, do the same thing for 8 hours, punch a card and go home, unless that's your job, you're going to have some figuring out to do. You know, I worked in an office where there was a lot of kids out of college. It was their first job, and I saw them. Now, I was in my, I think, late 30s or early 40s, and I saw a lot of them learn that when you put your credit card in on a website to check what your credit score is because you're trying to be responsible, you might find that they hit you for $30 a month. This was shocking to them. They didn't know, you know. And when your car breaks down and you decided to go with an Audi that cost $10,000 used instead of, you know, a new Hyundai or something, and because they liked it better and it was their first car and they wanted it to be a nice one, then when that car breaks down, a lot of times it has to take foreign parts and it costs more to fix it. Like, these are things to get their first apartment. They're still learning. You know, they need to learn all this stuff. I was around 40 and I was like, at first I was like, what? Like, you didn't know this? Then I'm like, of course they didn't know it. When would they have learned it? They're just breaking out into their own lives, you know? So keep that in mind. There's a learning curve that we had to go through when we were in our 20s. And mine was UGLY, man. So.
All right. So we're over time.
So whatever. We'll wrap it up.
But thanks for defending my generation. I don't really, I don't identify as a millennial. I don't care.
Yeah. It's all good.
Names and numbers are stupid.
So it's all good. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we will talk at you soon.
Glenn is available for life coaching sessions in person or via phone and Skype. To book an appointment or for more information, go to glennambrose.com, follow him on Facebook and Twitter, or click the link in the description of this episode.